When you see this, here comes the judge. Well, depending on your background, you might have different ideas about this. If you're a car enthusiast from the 60s and 70s, you'll know what the judge was. So here comes the judge. You know that. And some of you might remember the song that they sang years ago, Here Comes the Judge. And of course, they made a lot of fun about it. But we have to be aware that there's things we ought to know before we face our judge. We all are going to stand before a judge one day, and we need to know how to be prepared. So to set up this lesson, we're going to set up this scenario. Let's say you've been arrested for something. Doesn't matter really right now what it is. In our world, you're guilty until proven innocent. That's not the way it's supposed to be, but that's basically how it is. So anyway, you've been arrested for something, and you're facing possible prison time. And you're really worried about it, so you hire a lawyer. And hopefully the lawyer's good at their job, and they'll do that. And you also, your lawyer prepares your case to present it to the judge. And you also want a lawyer that knows the judge very well, because this is important, that he knows the judge. Because judges are the law in their courtroom. You say the wrong thing, you're going to get punished. There's no doubt about that. I don't have a lot of experience, but watching Law and Order on TV, I have a pretty good idea how the court system works. But anyway, you need a lawyer to know how you should behave in this particular judge's court. Some judges like some things, and they don't like other things. And hopefully he will know this judge does not like whatever it might be. And so, you want a lawyer to know what the judge might do with his or her tendencies. And so your lawyer should instruct you how you present yourself to the judge. Not only in appearance, how you dress, in propriety, how you behave, in essence, just your general demeanor, and in your reaction. When things don't go your way, how are you going to react? You know, you look and you see some people, and if they're going to get a bad message, you really get worried, right? Some people can really get nasty. So anyway, your lawyer tells you, now don't do this, don't do that. And usually he wants you to make sure you're dressed up in a nice suit, your hair is cut, and you're shaved, and all that stuff to make a real good impression to the judge and the jury. Now, let's bring that into a spiritual application, which is really why we came here in the first place. So let's look at a spiritual application of this. We should know who our judge is. And yes, by now, if you haven't figured that out, then you haven't been in the right place. Our judge is the great judge that we will stand before at the end of time. It is God Almighty who is our judge. And we should know his tendencies. What does he want? We don't have to guess at this. There's something about this. We don't have to guess at what God wants. He has already told us. He's told us what he expects of us. He's told us his rules. And now, so in a courtroom, the judge spends a good 20 or 30 minutes starting off, okay, here's what I'm going to accept in my courtroom, and I will not accept certain kinds of behavior. And if you act that way, I'll show you in contempt and give you a fine, and you'll have to pay it or you'll go to jail. So knowing the tendencies of what they have, we know what God's tendencies are. We know what God expects of us because he's already laid it out. He has given us the rules. And so we don't have to sit there and question. And of course, as you know, ignorance is no excuse, right? It's no excuse for breaking the law. So we should know how to behave before God. Let's face it, the creator of this world, we should be reverent towards God and humble ourselves before him. And so there are things we need to consider about our final judge. And these are just a few simple points that we're going to make and we'll set for our lesson tonight. First of all, he is just and all-knowing. He's going to be fair. There's no question about that. It will be fair based on the facts. See, a human judge may get fooled from time to time. A guy, maybe a person who's a bad person, they dress up really nice, look really sharp in court, and they present themselves. They're smiling to everybody. Hi, how you doing? All this stuff. And yeah, he looks like an okay character. And we might even think the same thing. The only thing that we would think, but why is it on trial? We might be thinking that. But the judge will sit there, well, he looks like an upstanding character of the community. And it may be he's just a drug dealer out there or something. But anyway, sometimes human judges get fooled. And someone can tell a bleeding heart story. And they can enhance it with tears. And, oh, I'm so blah, blah, blah. And just blah, blah, blah all over the place. And the judge might have compassion. Oh, man, this person got a bad rap. So I'm not going to give them what they deserve. And you know what? A human judge may accept a bribe. And it does happen. I know in years past, judges accepted bribes in this country. We know in other countries, judges are bribed all the time. They take money. They're some of the wealthiest people in their communities because they take money just to make sure this person doesn't go to jail or that person doesn't go to jail. Or if you don't like so-and-so, make sure they do go to jail. So human judges do accept bribes. You're not going to be able to bribe God. And there is no fooling God. God is not mocked. You know, Galatians 6, verse 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. A human judge can only judge based upon the facts that are presented. You know, a lot of times we hear of trials where maybe the prosecutor didn't show all the evidence. And the guy gets convicted, and some years later someone said, well, wait a minute, they didn't show this evidence, which would have exonerated my client. And so they get a new trial, and they get released because someone did the wrong job. See, that's not going to happen with our God, with our judge. He is all-knowing. He knows everything. And he knows not only everything by facts, he knows everything by intent, what's in our mind. He knows all that stuff. And so, well, I didn't mean to run that stop sign, Judge. God's going to know better if you choose to do that. You're not going to pull anything over on God. We know that. And so Hebrews 4:13 tells us that there is nothing hidden from his sight. God sees it all. He knows it all. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are every place watching evil and good. Yes, he doesn't like evil, but he sees it when it takes place. He knows when it takes place. And if we are involved in it, he knows that as well. So he is just and all-knowing. He uses an absolute standard. You know, nowadays many judges interpret the law differently. That's why you have so many appeals processes nowadays. One judge says this, well, they don't like what you say, so they take it to another court. That court changes it, reverses it. Then they go back to another court to get the decision, and finally it gets up the line to the Supreme Court. But because they interpret the law differently. Apparently, they weren't taught the law to begin with. That's all I can say. Some judges may not like the law and rule against the actual law. Oh, no, no, we can't have this, or this is unconstitutional, or something. Someone wants to kill their baby. Oh, they should have that right to do that. So it's unconstitutional to tell them they can't do that. And you see where this is going. It gets really crazy. This is what they call legislating from the bench. The Congress won't act to do something, so they get the judges to make the rulings to change the way people do things. But there is an absolute standard that we need to be aware of. God's standard is Christ. Jesus Christ and his laws. Jesus Christ and his teaching. Jesus Christ and his doctrine. And it is based upon Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone and built upon the apostles' doctrine. What they taught, which basically he instructed them what to teach. We have it. We have it recorded for us in written form. And it's something that we can understand. If you ever try and read a law book, forget it. I can't. I can't read a law book, so much language, here is, wherefore, there as, and all that stuff. I can't handle that stuff. But I even one time was asking a lawyer, well, what does this mean? Can you put it into English? He went through this big old long thing, and I had no idea what he was talking about. But with Christ giving us the standard, that's what God is going to be judging us on. In John 12:48, Jesus said, the words that I speak will judge you. There's no question mark about what we're going to be judged by, what standard we're going to be judged by. You remember in Revelation 20, we read the great judgment scene and books were opened. It's not going to be law books sitting out there, which nobody can understand. There's going to be the book of life. If your name is in it, you're in good shape. If your name's not in that, forget it. And so the book of life is going to be there. The book of deeds is going to be there. Also known as, from the book of Malachi, the book of remembrances. God remembers what each and every one of us do. That is up to the point where we repent. Then he forgets all that stuff. We get to start over if we're faithful to God. If we come and get ourselves clean through baptism, we start a new slate. It's all wiped clean. We start over. That's what we do as Christians. When we become Christians, we have a new slate. And then when we recognize we've done some things wrong, we ask for forgiveness. We repent of those things. And God, once again, wipes the slate clean. And that is such a marvelous privilege that we have. Sometimes we take it for granted, and we should not. The Lord will judge us all by the final and complete authority of His Word. We're going to be held subject to this standard, the Bible that we have. This is the other book that will be opened. It is the standard by which we will be judged. And of course, this Bible contains the words of Christ. And they are the words of Christ. So when Jesus said, the words I speak, guess what? He gave us those words in His book. We have those words now. And we can understand them. As we talked about this morning, we can understand them. His word, His law is perfect. You know, Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. In other words, if something is perfect, can you improve upon it? No, you cannot. So that's what the law is. It is perfect. It is right. It is righteous. It has no faults, no errors, no loopholes. That's one thing about the laws of man. They always build in loopholes for their buddies. So their buddies can say, look here, this thing says I can do this. And other people get a hold of it. Now all of a sudden, they all complain because nobody's paying their taxes. Well, they're abiding by the law. What's the problem? Well, okay, we'll go from there. But anyway, He will judge us individually. This is what God is going to do. He's not going to judge us as Americans. He's not going to judge us racially. He's not going to judge us politically. He's not going to judge us whatever. Anything you can imagine. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ individually. We will all be judged based upon our own deeds that we have done, that we've done in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body. And our system of justice based upon the presumption that some crimes are worse than others. Well, that's why they have all these different levels. There's a Class A, Class B, Class C, Class D, and then there's Level 1, Level 2, and all this other stuff out there. Some crimes are worse than others. Yes, crimes that take away people's lives. That's worse than maybe just stealing something from them. And so the laws have been written to the point, well, when someone does something bad, they need to be punished. And some people see that, but we see that sometimes this punishment that is handed out does not fit. Sometimes it's unjustly applied, harshly, and sometimes, depending on the arguments the lawyers make, somebody might get off that really deserves to be in prison. And we see that all the time. And we see the injustice there. And we sometimes complain about it. And we're right to do so. But with a good lawyer, we might get a different sentence than what someone else might get for the same offense. In other words, if our lawyer's on his toes and thinking about it, knows the law, can hoodwink the judge into thinking, well, okay, maybe this action was justified for some reason, so we won't give him a life sentence, we'll just give him a few years. Something like that. And yes, when the lawyers make the dumb decisions they do sometimes, they get called out for it. If we can convince a judge that our actions are not as bad as what someone else did, we might get a lesser sentence than they got. See, sometimes people get up there and there's several people who have been charged with something. Well, I'm not as bad as they are. Remember that Pharisee in Luke chapter 16? Well, I'm not as bad as a lot of these people like this publican over here. So you need to heap some praise upon me because I'm not as bad as this guy. Well, that's what they do in courts of law, too. Well, he's not out there raping the little children or doing stuff like that. He's still destroying lives, whatever the case might be. So anyway, the final judgment, we will not be able to shift the focus upon others. Sometimes we get the opportunity to do that, and we shift the blame towards others. That's what our society does. It always shifts the blame somewhere than where it belongs. The idiot that shot those people. Now, guess what? It's not the man's fault. It's society's fault. It's a deep-seated, it's in their DNA or something like that. They don't ever tell us. They always want to blame the gun. They want to blame this or that. They want to blame society. They want to blame the culture. They want to blame this instead of blaming the person who actually held the gun and pulled the trigger. You don't ever see that in the news. You don't see them talking about that, blaming this person. No, they always got to. Everybody has their own agenda, let's put it that way. But one thing about it, we can't shift the focus upon others. It's going to be on us. When we stand before God, we're going to be standing there. And Hebrews kind of puts it pretty succinctly. Says we'll be standing naked and bare, standing before God. With the billions of souls all around us, we will be standing before God. We will be standing alone. We won't be able to hold our preacher's hand. We won't be able to hold daddy's hand or mama's hand or our spouse's hand or anything like that. We will be standing alone. And then, something else, extenuating circumstances will not be considered. Now, in our courts, we hope that they do consider the extenuating circumstances. Well, why were you going? Why did you run that stop sign? Well, I was trying to get my wife to the hospital because she's about to have a baby. That's no excuse. You still ran a stop sign, you're going to get a ticket. My brother did, but anyway. Extenuating circumstances is something that we always look for to present to the judge. But we are all guilty of using this type of defense. You realize that? See, that one thing we have to be aware of, there will be no, yes, Lord, but. Yeah, you've heard of that, right? There's no buts in heaven. There will be no, I intended to, but. And isn't that the case? Sometimes we get honest with our boss. Did you do what I told you to do? No, but there was a reason for it. And we hope that the reason will justify us not getting the job done. No, he wanted a job done. We didn't do it. And we were honest saying, well, no, I didn't do it, but. I mean, we do that on the job all the time, don't we? We shouldn't be, but we do. There'll be no, well, you know, it just seems to me, Judge. There's a lot of people seem to think that. Of course, Proverbs tells us there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. But remember Matthew 7:21, Jesus starts off telling that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then these people, wait, Lord. Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name do many wonderful works? And he will say unto them on that day, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, when all is said and done, the only thing that matters is if we did what God commanded. And that's what we try and emphasize all the time. Did we do what God commanded? The first thing, important thing for us, is to know what He commanded. That's why we're commanded to study His Word, to find out and learn from His Word what He wants us to do, and then do it. Because that's all that matters in the end. It doesn't matter how you behave and whatever thing you think is right in your own mind. It's what God said. And one thing about this judge, it will be final. There will be no appeals to a higher court. You can't get any higher than the supreme judge of mankind. There will be no appeals processes. You can't blame your lawyer because he didn't present a good enough defense. You can't blame the law because it was in error. You can't blame this or that. The final judgment will be final, absolute. And we cannot claim a faulty system merits a second trial, which some people successfully get a second trial because something wasn't done right. Somebody made a mistake. Somebody didn't dot the I or cross the T or something like that. And okay, let's have a new trial. Cannot claim that with the final judge. We cannot claim that evidence was mishandled or ignored. Because you know what? God has the evidence in His own mind. He knows what the evidence is. It's in His own knowledge. He has omniscience. He knows everything. And we won't be presenting any evidence. If anything, He's going to be declaring to us what we didn't do, why we didn't do it, and anything else you can imagine. We cannot claim we were improperly represented. Now, why would you even do that? Because now, in the court system, yes, you have lawyers. Sometimes they're appointed by the court. And sometimes they're kind of sloppy, and you can claim that you were improperly represented because maybe they weren't caring about you. Maybe you don't have a lot of money, and you can't pay them loads of dollars to present a good case. But that won't be the case. Because you know who our advocate is right now? Our lawyer is Jesus Christ. And last time I checked, He's perfect. He makes no mistakes. So we cannot claim we were misrepresented when we are judged. We cannot claim that the law was interpreted wrongly because it is His law. You just cannot do that. So after this, what happens? Judgment is coming. We have to be aware of this. We cannot escape it. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We cannot escape it. This is one thing none of us will escape, is the judgment. Some people try and think they can escape it. There's no escape from it. It will happen, no question about it. As we've seen so many people go before us, so they will after us as well. We cannot escape it. While we live, Christ is our lawyer. He is our advocate. If we sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 John 2 and verse 1 tells us that. We're not supposed to sin, but Christ is there to take us where we need to go and to guide us. And He instructs us how we need to behave, how we need to talk, and how we need to conduct ourselves in the presence of not only our judge, but actually all mankind. And He gives us that information in His Word. And once we die, Christ will no longer be our lawyer, our advocate. Once we die, Christ becomes our judge. Remember what He said, "My words will judge you." So there will be no complaints, because everyone will get exactly what they deserve. If they chose not to do right in the sight of God, they're going to pay the price. They will get what they deserve. And remember, as we've depicted this scene before, you're standing there at judgment. And we have the words from Romans 14 telling us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus as Lord. When God brings us up there in judgment and says, "You did not do what I told you to do," He's going to make us say, "Jesus is Lord." And then He's going to be casting us out into that outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where it's loneliness, separated and apart from God. People will get exactly what they deserve. You know, we complain about our judicial system, but still, here in America, it's still the best in the world. I mean, most countries, it's guilty until proven innocent, and you have the burden to prove your innocence. They do that, and it's a real sad that happens. And some systems are very horrible, depending on who you are. If you're one of the poor class, that's too bad. I mean, you're just going to be treated terribly. We know what it is in some Muslim countries if women has to go to a trial. They usually end up dead. Let's face it, they usually end up dead because of that. Our court system, even with all its faults, everything we can say about it that really just turns our stomach about it, it's still the best in the world. But it's not as good as the ultimate judgment. While there's technology that could keep tabs on everyone and know where they were at specific times, they choose not to use this against our own citizens. And honestly, we kind of wish they would. Because there's some bad people out there, we need to find out. And so when they ask them, "Where were you on such and such date?" "Well, I was off in Sacramento," when they have a picture of him sitting here in Fresno doing something else that he shouldn't be doing. I mean, the technology is there. Sometimes they use it. Human rights and citizen rights will not be considered in our final judgment. You know, that's one thing a lot of people use. "Oh, you're abusing our rights." We have rights. See, when we stand before God, the only right that God is going to be concerned with is His. When you think about it, it will be His rights. Only God's rights will matter on that day. So, if we want to go to heaven, if we want to be invited into heaven, we had better make sure we're living the way God wants us to live, as He has given to us the instructions in the Bible. If we're not following those instructions to the very best of our ability, we're just deceiving ourselves if we think we're okay. And a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people feel, "I'm okay." But the question, as we end this sermon, are you ready to come before your judge? Think about that. Are you ready? We sometimes sing that song, "Are you ready?" Well, the question is, are you ready to come before your judge? If you're not ready, you need to get yourself right. Get yourself right with God, and if you have to fix things up with other people, make that right. That's the only way you're going to get to go to heaven, is to be right with God. So consider those thoughts. This is our lesson for this evening. We always offer the invitation. If anyone realizes they need to change their ways, we'll pray for you. We'll baptize you into Christ, if that's what you need. But we stand ready to assist you. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.